B-Pod Studios.
Why are you putting us in front of these creeps taking pictures?
Don't worry, we didn't look. Oh, it's like a parade. 610-632-0975. By the way, for the sights and sounds that we're talking about, the food and everything here, Ant.
Yes.
You get to the Tilted Kilt in Sicklerville, New Jersey. We're here until 2 o'clock today. Come down, enjoy it. It's a great place for game day as well. But I got to tell you that you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEM, Burlington, Philadelphia. We are a Beasley Media Group station, and we broadcast today, like I said, from the Tilted Kilt in Sicklerville on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's time now for the Bring the Heat Line, brought to you by American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. To leave a message for Anthony and Jason, call 610-771-9751. Now, bring the heat.
B-A-T-L-E-S, Eagles!
Yeah, it is time for Bring the Heat. I wonder if any heat's getting put on Klentak and McPhail on the Bring the Heat line. That's a good place to bring some heat. Voice your protest. No?
Yes.
Good spot.
I feel about that.
Yeah. 610-771-9751. That's where you leave your messages. And you can lay the heat down on McPhail and Klentak.
Yeah, I wish you would. You know what's awesome about this fan base? We're constantly, people wear their colors everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's cool? Like, husband and wife, right, walk in, they both got their Eagle stuff on.
Yeah.
The guys over here, they were doing my boys over here, they were doing a Jaeger shot, car bomb.
Really?
In, yeah. They got their Eagle stuff on. I love that. Like, trust me, I've been around the country. And, you know, people are, they don't wear gear the way we wear gear here.
Yeah, like we have, you have your dresser, right? Or your, wherever you keep your clothes and stuff. And you have one drawer that's all gear. If you have like two t-shirt drawers, one of them is all Eagles gear and Sixers stuff, you know?
Yeah.
You can fill a walk-in closet with just your game day gear, but you wear it every day. And our gear is good because we have diverse color schemes. So we can, you know, we can match a lot of different things. A lot of variety in our wardrobe, despite the fact that we're always four-for-four stuff.
Yes.
All right, let's see what we got on the Bring the Heat line today.
Yeah, boys, I'm not worried at all about Sunday night. Eagles 30, Falcons 10, Wentz will shine. And as far as the defense goes, I see a couple of picks off Matty Melt. Jim Schwartz will have the team ready to go.
All right, so they're going to have more success against Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, and Sanu defensively than they did Case Keenum and the Island of Misfit Toy Receivers. You buy that? You could say no. He won't be offended.
Yeah, that Falcon line banged up is a big deal, but they're going to do the same thing. They're going to max protect. You know, I'm curious. I need to say it. I need to say it. I do think, like, the Eagles, with their offense is so good that if you can now just get some stops, you're going to win games. But the only thing I don't know is if, like, remember, things got out of hand for Atlanta last week. Block punt.
Yep.
You know, they just, you look up and they're down 28-0, right?
Yeah, and you're chasing it big time.
So do they regroup and have a game? It should be a... I mean, I don't want to be obvious, but it should be one of those tight games with a lot of points, no?
Well, you look at the Eagles.
What's the total? It's got to be 55? 54?
So the Eagles are a 1.5-point choice right now, but the over-under on this game, Anthony, coming up Sunday night football, national television, in Atlanta, in the Dome, is 52.5.
Yeah, you know, and listen, early on defense...
Over.
Yeah, I think so.
Stone over.
Yeah.
What's next?
Who's to blame in the Phillies for the Dallas Keuchel fiasco non-signing? Was it Matt Klentak? Just didn't want him? Or was it John Middleton? Said we ain't spending any more money. Which is it?
Oh, it's not Middleton. Listen, it's not. We know it's not Middleton. Middleton wants to win.
$13 million in his couch cushions.
He's not putting on. Listen. There is, you are within reason. You have a self-imposed cap, and you do have luxury tax. But I can't believe, and I don't believe, that if the front office went to Middleton and said, listen, John, we really need Keuchel. We might put us over budget. I don't think he's going to say no.
No.
He wants to win.
They didn't even call to inquire, according to Dallas
Keuchel. I think they looked at him and went, we're not interested, and that's it.
Yep. And how about the fact that they don't even call to inquire? You didn't have to give up anything to get him. So what's worse, Ann? The fact that they weren't willing to spend the money, or that they didn't even think that he could help them? What's a bigger crime?
Well, obviously, it's the fact that they didn't think he would be a huge factor. Here's the problem.
This is evaluation again.
Well, again, it goes down to evaluation. Right. Well, the minute you come into the season overvaluing Pivetta, Eflin, Eichhoff,
Velasquez,
right? Ugh. VVV. The minute you do that, you automatically have problems. Now, again, that was a way. It's astounding to me that they didn't do it and didn't go in, because it's a way to cover up your own, glaring weaknesses, like your own issues of your own miscalculations.
Yeah.
Like, listen, if I mess up, right, and I go, man, I messed up this rotation bad, and then I got a Band-Aid that's out there for me, why would I go for the Band-Aid?
Yeah.
Like, at this point, at that point of the season, you know that suddenly Pivetta and Eichhoff, Eflin, Velasquez aren't going to turn around. You know what they are,
mm-hmm.
and you still don't move. That's even worse of an indictment.
Now, that's Klentak, though. And we're probably going to be saddled with them again next year. Klentak and McPhail. Round and round the world goes, and nothing changes, man. What's next?
Boy, if Dallas Keuchel's acerbic post-game comments were not an indictment of the Phillies front office, then you should be able to milk a bull. Matty Klentak, don't you come back. No more, no more, no more, no more.
I love it. That's great. Here you go.
Acerbic.
In case you missed it, here you go. Here's Keuchel.
I mean, if you don't come calling, what is there for me to be mad about? So, I think a lot of those guys over there in the front office are second guessing themselves, and I mean, I would too.
Wow.
I would too.
Andrew, I don't know where you found that or what ends of the earth you went to. I don't know if did they air that locally, or was that something you found online?
I found it on the Twitter sphere.
That's a great cut.
Twitter sphere, man.
Good job out of you, man. That's an indictment.
Here's the beauty of it. The beauty of it is he completely faced them. Like, it was he just faced them.
Yep.
It was awesome. And every Phillies fan should be like, I love you, Dallas Keuchel.
Oh, my goodness. It's unbelievable.
He pointed it out. Now, if you're John Middleton today, right, and you hear Dallas Keuchel say that, how do you feel about your staff? Right? How do you feel about that great McPhail, great winner of the World Series with the Minnesota Twins, B.C.?
Well, if we win, we win. If we don't, we don't. You can't sanction this behavior. Middleton has got to act this offseason. You can't sanction that message to this fan base after you've been horrible since 2012 and your farm system is ranked 25th by Baseball America.
Yeah.
Been drafting at the top of the draft.
But you got to love, because when Klentak will talk next, he'll tell you how great he is.
Mm-hmm.
How great a position they are all in.
Yep.
He and McPhail and Gabe pat each other.
Yep.
How great they are.
Well, I love Cap. Oh, Cap's great. He does FaceTime with players.
How about, you remember the Cap? Cap was said like 10 times this year, you wait, man, we're going to dominate.
Dominate what?
It's middle of September.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm still waiting for you dominating.
Yeah, it's a little late. It's not going to happen. We'll see Keuchel again next Tuesday, Anthony, the 17th. So the Phillies have one more tonight. Smiley goes tonight against Atlanta. Then those two games, no game tomorrow on Friday, football Friday. Boston then. Saturday and Sunday
Boston's
at home.
Dead, so.
Yep. And then they go to Atlanta beginning Tuesday, and it'll be Vargas Keuchel coming up on Tuesday.
Shame.
Night.
It would have been better if it was here, where you can then give Keuchel a standing O. He deserves a standing ovation.
How about that series against Atlanta? You're going to go out there, you're going to throw Vargas versus Keuchel. Eflin will get the second game, and then Nola will get the third game. But Nola's lost four straight.
Is there any way that whoever's going tonight can start a Keuchel chant?
That a game?
Keuchel. Is Keuchel. No, but not the derogatory chant, like the Keuchel, Keuchel, Keuchel.
Yeah.
Like that. Now, imagine hearing that, and then he comes out, tips his cap. And the crowd goes wild.
Curtin calls him on a night he's not even pitching.
That would be outrageous. That would be the ultimate shame. Because that's what the beauty of something like that. Never mind. Hold on. I'll hold the thought because we have one of the preeminent NFL analysts on the line. He is terrific. You want to listen to him when he talks quarterbacks, when he talks football. Par excellence. Dan Orlovsky, ESPN. Danny, how are you?
I'm doing great, fellas. How are you guys?
Real well, real well. I died again today. You know, you've been on the Carson train, and week one, he did not disappoint. And we had you on. You thought that Carson would come back, and he did not disappoint you in week one.
No, not at all. I mean, it was fun to watch, right? I mean, you just, with everything that's gone on over the past 2 years, and you know what, you can see what he can be and how special he can be. And you just almost cross your fingers. Like so many people when you see a special athlete or a special player, you just cross your fingers and you're willing, you know, I was willing, like many people were, I was willing to be outspoken about like, no. Like let's refresh everybody's minds about how good this kid really, really was and has been in his past and is going to be. And it was something that I was kind of committed to in the offseason. And just, he looked absolutely outstanding. The touchdown pass to Alshon in the red zone was a perfect example of it. They got comfortable. It looked like it took him a quarter to kind of settle in and after not playing in the preseason. And then, you know, I've been telling people, like, this team hung 25 on someone in a half. So, you know, the explosive offense is there, and it's only getting started.
When you looked at his performance, you mentioned that touchdown pass. I said to Anthony earlier in the show that one I keep replaying in my mind because he threw it into his belly. So he didn't have to go up high, but he found the spot. And keeps using the phrase, he's throwing it into mouse holes. But you looked at his pocket presence, Dan. That's the thing that really stuck out for me. His internal timer, his ability to maybe get out of the pocket and create a little more time and make throws down the field and keep his eyes down the field. He just didn't look like that last year. He looks far different than he did last year.
Well, a lot of that with the player's confidence, a lot of that is not confidence necessarily in a singular aspect. It's confidence in, okay, is my body feeling right? Do I truly trust? Because imagine how quickly that happens, that you, in your brain and in your eyes, you get this message like, move, go somewhere. Like, right now is not a good place to be when you're in the pocket. And just how quickly that happens. Do I trust the people around me to go make some plays? Do I trust that if I do leave this pocket, that I'll go make this play that I know I can? It's certainly for us to happen in those 6 months of office.
Oh, we're having
some
trouble.
Being in camp and performing the way he performed in camp. And it was a lot of fun to watch. And you can just see and hear him talk the confidence that he has.
Yeah, and I want to get this with you because you saw early in the first half, and then you see him once he starts to feel good about himself and once he starts to feel comfortable, right? You know, it all came back from the muscle memory, feeling good. And you could see you who played the position knows a guy that's playing with supreme confidence when he's rolling out and he's decisive with the football and he's kind of accurate. It all stems from that kind of swag and confidence that you get.
Well, I go back to training camp. I remember reading the story in the comments from Lane Johnson and him kind of referencing that he felt like Carson had a little bit of swagger, a high level of confidence about himself. And, you know, listen, when it's 3rd and 10 and you see a coverage, I mean, he checked a couple times. You can see the communication. he checks a couple times on third and 10 that leads to some big plays. Obviously, one of them being the bomb to DeSean Jackson downfield. But, listen, they are in a very healthy place. I'd say the greatest thing about the game, other than winning and the way the offense caught fire in the second half, he was clean. He didn't take any hits. He didn't take any big shots. I mean, every single game that kid can go not getting beat up is such a good thing that's not going to get talked about enough. I mean, think about it in this regards. We just watched one of the absolute greats in our game retire 2 weeks ago strictly because he took too many hits. And I would argue that a lot of them, and I've talked about this with Carson, were unnecessary. We're watching it with Deshaun Watson right now. Unnecessary hits that are going on. And so if I'm the Eagles, kid played well and offense looked dynamic, but golly, he was clean, and that's got to be a good thing.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is like when you give him the weapons that he has, and we talk about Deshaun Jackson, but listen, Dan, looking at the way Deshaun ran his routes, forget about the home run balls. He caught 5 third downs, he had 3 first down catches on third down, and 3 of those 3 were from running really good routes, knowing that the corner had him scared. He was trying to cheat deep, and he turned it back underneath. I mean, when you watch his route running, I know you got to be, especially as a quarterback, you got to be impressed.
Absolutely. You know, I've said that, first of all, Carson's never had a guy like DeSean Jackson, right? He's never had a guy that, you know, scares the death out of defensive coordinators and defensive backs, but also, you know, sudden enough to run something other than the go route. You know, I would liken it to this. We often hear so much about veteran players, and once they get to a certain age, and the question often becomes like, well, how is this guy still able to do it? Because they're, at some point, your body drops off. One, I would put DeSean Jackson in a category that he's not normal, right? Like, his body's not normal. Genetically, he is not normal to continue to keep up the speed that he has at his age. Two, I bet you that DeSean Jackson's training regimen is significantly more detailed and greater than people want to give him credit for, because I would argue that a lot of people still see DeSean Jackson as the young and immature kid that came out of Cal instead of like the matureness that he has with his game. And you can see that DeSean now is a lot smarter as a player. He knows how fast he is. He knows how much fear he puts into defensive backs. And he's almost running his routes at different tempos within the route. Like, and Torrey Holt used to do this. Torrey Holt used to change the speed within the route where he would like come off the line of scrimmage with a little bit of burst. And then you could see him kind of pull it back just a notch for another 3 or 4 steps and then burst again. And all that suddenness within that route, that's what you're seeing with DeSean, really, on those third down ones when he's not going deep, those comebacks and out routes. He's changing his tempo within his stem of his route in the first 12 or 15 yards. When you do that to a defensive back, it's like moving, you know, the cup game when you put the object under the cup and move it around. It's a guessing game for DBs. So their number one thing is, okay, I'm just going deep because I'm not getting beat.
Well, here's the thing too, Dan. He's 32 years old, but according to some stats, Next Gen stats from last week, two of the top 10 fastest speeds in game last week were from DeSean. He reached 21.4 miles per hour in his 51-yard touchdown and 20.86 miles per hour in his 53-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
He hasn't lost even a tenth of a step at 32. And like you said, he's learned his body and how to prepare it even more as you age. I'm sure a lot of explosive drills are in there for him. But, boy, it's unbelievable that he hasn't lost any speed at 32 years of age.
It's absolutely remarkable. And that's a product of, listen, this isn't something that, okay, for the past couple months, DeSean recommitted himself and whatnot. Like I said, I bet you his commitment and his training regimen is significantly more in detail and greater than people think. We're seeing it with Brady, right? That he can still perform at his level and Breeze, because it's year after year after year of the commitment that these guys have made within their bodies. And I'd say this too, we should credit Doug Peterson a good amount, because he made sure that DeSean was in spaces and places that it was going to be hard to get hands on at the snap, where they were in the bunches or condensed the splits or a little bit of motion.
That's a great
where,
point.
You know, he wasn't, people couldn't get hands on him. And that's going to be a big thing moving forward, because coordinators are going to watch that tape and go, Well, listen, for Deshaun, we got to press him and make sure we don't allow him to get to his top speed. And so that'll be important that Doug continues to not only move him around, but it's almost like a baseball batting order. Put people around him that allow the hands to stay off of him.
Yeah, I you know, it's funny because when you look at this whole thing and you look at this offense, one of the things we're talking about with Carson is because he's got, they got so many weapons, is spreading the ball around, right? Making guys happy. Danny, you know this. Like, you know, especially those guys, they're different cats, those receivers, man. You want to keep them happy. One of the good things that came out was that Alshon, even though Josh Norman was shadowing him most of the game, caught his and he got a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing, I'd say it's twofold for that situation. As long as you're sending the message that it's positions over players as a quarterback and a play caller, what I mean by that is, like, listen, we're going to throw the guy who gets open versus this coverage, right? I don't care who you are. It's the position that I'm throwing to, not necessarily the player. And then it's Doug Peterson's job, and I promise you he's smart enough. When guys build plays, right, when you build a play, whether it's a first down play call, a third down play call, a red zone play call, you go through your checklist. Okay, all right, I want to build this play for Zach Ertz. Okay, I want to build this play for Aguilar. I'm going to build this play for Deshaun. You build plays for players and then let the position take over per the coverage. So you might build the play and go, we want to get – listen, our goal is Alshon's going to be the number one guy in this. But that position gets taken away by a defense. All right, then I go to the next side. And that will probably be something that is a growth thing for Carson. I expect to see a big growth from him because who was great at that, right? Nick Foles. Nick Foles was great at, all right, wherever your coverage is showing me this, I'm throwing the ball there. I don't care who the person is.
Right.
It'll be a really good – we're going to see a lot of good growth from Carson in regards to that. I'm like, okay, I don't care who the player is. It's the position that gets the ball, and there's plenty of snaps to go around.
That's a great point.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, week two of the NFL, last week Atlanta goes down. How do you see this game on Sunday Night Football playing out? Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, and that a lot of great receivers in this football game, by the way, against the Eagles. How do you see it playing out down in Atlanta?
Yeah, I mean, if you go watch the Atlanta-Minnesota game, you go like, my goodness, Atlanta, what are we doing? They were really bad offensive line-wise. I mean, really bad. And I know they're starting some young kids. They're two first-round draft picks on the offensive line. But I got to imagine that, you know, and this is just keeping it real. Like, the Eagles' defense was not great last week. That pass rush was not great last week. And the back end was not great, especially early. And so I would imagine that the Eagles' defensive line has got to put it on themselves a little bit, that they've got to take advantage of a little bit of a wounded offensive line. And their back end certainly is going to be challenged. Now, they've stepped up to the challenge before against Atlanta 2 years in a row and against Julio 2 years in a row. But that defensive line for the Eagles has got to own the football game. And I would imagine that you're going to see a ton of completions to Sproles. You're going to see a ton of completions to Miles Sanders. Atlanta gets up more completions to running backs than anybody in football right now. And so a good game for Carson to maintain patience. There will be opportunities to throw the ball downfield at some point, but not like it was last week, especially in the second half. But this game's got to come down to the Eagles' defensive line dominating the football game.
Hey, Dan, I got a question for you. Are you watching – do you do all the cut-ups, the quarterback cut-ups each week?
Yep.
Who stood out to you, like, both good and bad? Quickly, I'm just curious in your eye looking at all the cut-ups.
Yeah, I mean – a couple quarterbacks that played really well. Like, I'll be honest, Jacoby Brissett in Indianapolis played really, really well.
I like him.
Lamar Jackson was good. I mean, you guys probably were going to throw for 250 yards in that game. That Miami was so bad. Dak Prescott was absolutely outstanding. Carson was great. Russell Wilson in the fourth quarter was unbelievable. There were some guys that played a lot better than the national recognition was, because the team is what they are. You know, Jared Goff struggled. Jared Goff played as poorly as he's probably played in the last 2 years. But there was a handful of guys that played really well.
You mentioned the show.
Doesn't look right.
I thought, you know what's funny? You know, Flacco's from here, and we know him well and all.
Sure.
And I thought, I don't know, change the scenery, give him some weapons. He's still got a big arm. You know, maybe he kind of snaps out. Derek Carr played outrageous. He was terrific.
Yeah, Carr played great.
But, I mean, Joe still looks like
you know, unmotivated.
Yeah, I don't want to say unmotivated as much as he just looks flat.
Rich. To me.
Yeah, maybe. That's perfectly said. I would say this about Joe. Nothing but incredible amounts of respect for him. He's obviously accomplished a ton.
Yeah.
But I think that, again, like sometimes we look at people through the lens that we want to. Like Joe Flacco, for the body of his career, has been a solid quarterback. He's never been a really good quarterback outside of the run. But right. We look at Joe Flacco through that run like the same way we look at Eli through those two Super Bowl runs.
Yeah,
Eli led the NFL in turnovers three times. You know, yeah. So it's like we look at people through the lens we want to.
Last thing, because I love Deshaun Watson. I love him.
Yep.
Now, you mentioned taking on unnecessary hits. How much it was the line, how much it was him, and I want him to stay upright because, man, he's great for the league. He's such a great player.
Yeah, special player. I'll say this, because I've had a gripe with Bill O'Brien schematically, like offensive-wise, for 2 years now. You know, if you look at Bill O'Brien's history, he's never kept a quarterback healthy. Never. His quarterbacks always take a beating. Play callers, really, really good play callers have a great feel for so many things. But one of the things is like, okay, who are we playing as far as a defense? Can we block them? And if we can't block them, what should I do or what can we do? And Bill O'Brien just kept calling plays on Monday night like they could block New Orleans up front, and they can't. Like, they just couldn't. And the reality was, like, three different times, they had a tight end by himself blocking either Davenport or Cam Jordan. That's bad play calling. That's disrespectful and ignorant play calling. And that's like me just keeping it real about it.
That's right.
They dropped back to throw 38 times. On more than 22 times, Deshaun either got hit, was sacked, or had to move away from pressure. Like, that's unacceptable. And
that's wild.
And I'll give them a little bailout because New Orleans did a nice job of attacking Tunsil and the new back, Duke Johnson, so the new communication. But again, as a play caller, that's your job. You better be aware of it. And he just kept calling plays like everything was fine. And so a little bit on the offensive line, they're not good. But a lot of it falls on Bill O'Brien and not having a feel for what are we good at, who are we playing against. Like, that matters. You're on the road against New Orleans, who's got a good front. Get the ball in hand.
Danny, I got to tell you, I could talk to you all day, man. You're the best. We really appreciate your time.
I appreciate it,
you
guys.
You are awesome. Like,
I appreciate it.
You're a star in this thing, so keep at it. And thank you.
We'll talk to you soon.
Don't forget us.
Never.
You're really, really big, man. You're terrific. Thanks, Danny.
Always. Appreciate
Dan Orlovsky, ESPN, joining us. Great stuff out of Dan Orlovsky. Let's take a quick break. We're live to Tilt to Kilt.
I mean, I could talk to them all day. More questions.
That's a Cousins Corner hour sit down right there.
It really is. I could get into quarterbacks around the league.
Midday show live to Tilt to Kilt in Sicklerville on the Fanatic.
All right, listen. It's a game tonight. That's it. We got football tonight. It's back after 2 days. You're like, oh, I need it. Well, listen, you can get in all the action on DraftKings Sportsbook app. You're in New Jersey? No fret. You got it right in your hands, right on your couch. So you're watching Carolina against Tampa. I think you got to go Carolina tonight. It's a chalk play, but, you know, Tampa short week. They don't look good. You can get a deposit bonus up to $500. More on that in a second. DraftKings Sportsbook app, it's operated sportsbook app in America. Season's on the way. Here's some great promotions like this one. The special NFL insurance promo. Bet on a team to win. If they score at least 24 points, your bet is safe. DraftKings will credit back your wager if your team goes on to lose. Head to DraftKings.com/Fanatic right now for a limited time. All new existing users get a deposit bonus up to $500. Plus, new users who sign up at DraftKings.com/Fanatic will get a risk-free bet up to $200. Don't forget, that's DraftKings.com/Fanatic for all new and existing users to claim your special offer. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, make it rain. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey. Only deposit bonus up to $50 instantly. Remainder requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See the site for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Phil's drop one of the Braves. I'm Andrew Salchunas, and this update is brought to you by FanDuel. FanDuel Sportsbook has tons of awesome promos for your bets happening all the time. You can find odds boosts, bet insurance, special bonuses, and more. Download the app or check out FanDuel. Phillies.com. Phillies started the Braves last night 3-1. Zach Eflin allowed 3 unearned runs on 3 hits with 3 walks and 5 strikeouts across a little over 3 innings. Dallas Keuchel went for 6 innings, allowing only 3 hits that included 8 strikeouts for the Braves. The Eagles are preparing to face the Falcons on Sunday night. Eric Carabell will join the Mike Mussinelli show today at 3:30 to take your fantasy questions. This update is also brought to you by Salesforce. Salesforce helps your company give your customers the personal experiences they love. Salesforce.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.